Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is a Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Two original pieces there. That's HagmanReport.com. Two original pieces there over the weekend. A case for revolution and Civil War 2.0. And the conversation between a grandfather and a grandson. All right. Two articles you need to read, I believe, and share on social media, please, because I think it's that important. I'm on Parler, Douglas Hagman on Parler, and just starting up there. All right, so just want to let you know that. Also, HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. There you're going to find the best damn coffee you'll ever drink. It begins with the Detective's Choice blend. That is a hyper-caffeinated brew. You can get it in whole bean, ground, or K-cups. And then, of course, we have the Patriot and Revolution blends as well. All right, so that's HagmanStore.com. Proceeds go to help fight child sex trafficking. That's correct. Just some headlines real quick. We have a full – just a great show lineup for you today. Eric the Tech and myself bringing on Brandon House. We had a little bit of a different, we're kind of flipping things around a little bit. So John Moore, not today, but hang on. Just don't worry. So we're bringing Brandon House on because he was the first media outlet to identify exactly what is going on with all of these voting in the dreaded air quotes irregularities. And when I say irregularities, you know, just for example, just so you know, so you can tell your moron friends, or the friends who act like morons with respect to this, 95,801 votes in Georgia. Only Biden votes. Did you know that? I mean, that's just one anomaly, one irregularity. So you're telling me, wait a second, you go in and 95, almost 100,000 people vote for just Joe Biden. All right. And that happened elsewhere. But you know the funny thing about this? Only in battleground states. Now, did you know that Australia, you are required by law to vote? Absolutely. In fact, they enforce that. And they'll hit you with a hefty fine if you don't vote. So the turnout in Australia, even with this hefty fine, can you guess what the turnout rate is? Don't guess. 92%. Well, guess what? The Wisconsin turnout rate, 90%. Now, the numbers, you've got in Wisconsin alone, 3.68 million registered voters. Okay? 3.3 million turned out, either by mail or in person or by absentee. Pennsylvania, did you know that Pennsylvania only rejected 0.03%. Understand that number. 0.03% of mail-in ballots only. Okay, that only applies to mail-in ballots. Pennsylvania only rejected 0.03% of mail-in ballots. Think about that number. Because New York, when the rejection process was last employed, they rejected 1 out of 4 or 25% by comparison. Montgomery County, Pennsylvania alone, and this is going to see the light of day tomorrow, I can guarantee you, in terms of court filings. Montgomery County alone, 131,000 votes for Biden. Compare that to votes for Obama. 59,000 votes for Obama. Of course, when he ran. Okay, you understand that, of course. In 2008. So, hang on a second. Are you telling me? Let me see if I got this right. That Joe Biden got more than twice as many votes in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, than Barack Hussein, Barry Satoro, gonna fundamentally change everything Obama did? Is that even possible? Slow Joe, Sleepy Joe, Creepy Joe? Are you comfortable with those numbers? If you're watching the show, it's doubtful. These are some of the things that Brendan House is going to be talking about. Who's calling? Oh. How you doing, Eric the Tech?
Doing good.
Okay. Apparently we're having some technical issues.
We're trying to get Mary.
All right.
Who is vital to this interview.
Okay.
So.
All right. So
I'm working with Brandon right now.
All right.
To get this solved.
Folks, yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what you need to do. Yeah. And this is fine. We're getting things organized here. You'd think that we would have things organized, but that's my fault. And I'm seriously, it's my fault. Mary Fanning appeared with Brandon House. I don't know how many people follow Brandon House. If you don't, worldviewweekend.com, definitely check that out, as well as worldviewreport.com. But Lieutenant General McInerney and Mary Fanning and Brandon House laid out this tremendous, well, everything Sidney Powell's been saying, the mechanics of everything that's gone wrong. How they did it. How they stole the vote. Even before you heard about it. The interviews are at Worldview Report or worldviewweekend.com. But there's more. Because since that time, since the day after the election, or 2 days after, whenever it was, there's been more that's come out. Sidney Powell has identified, just so you know, and just give me a thumbs up when everything's ready. Sidney Powell has identified the exact algorithm that they used to steal this election. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I was behind this, or one of the co-conspirators behind this, and I heard that, yeah, I'd be a little bit, oh, I don't know, concerned. When you hear that, you know that this is going to be a solid court case, at least in my view. And how'd you like that? Release the Kraken. You all heard about that, right? I'm not going to play it. Release the Kraken. We're going to release the Kraken. That's Sidney Powell talking on Lou Dobbs. I think it was Lou Dobbs or Mary Bartiromo. One of those. It's on my Twitter feed. But you know, this, what, and to make all of this kind of fit together, this whole thing, stealing the election, is all part of this great reset. This global reset that involves the coronavirus, the weaponization of the response to the coronavirus. And advisor Dr. Scott Atlas has said the only way that we are going to be able to stop this insanity of these shutdowns is to rise up. You get what you accept. And that's an important part, because those two articles I referenced earlier at HagmanReport.com, read those. Because if we don't rise up now, when we have to rise up, it's going to be bloody and it's going to be ugly and it's going to be horrible. But I'm going to tell you right now, people say, well, you know, you talk tough. I will be a part of that resistance. And I will protect anyone and defend anyone who is a part of that resistance. Because if this election is stolen, and again, Brandon House, Mary Fanning, going to be talking about the mechanics of how it was, so you understand and you can relay this to others. If we lose this opportunity to fight back, then you might as well call us the United States, Socialist States of America. It's going to be communism central here in the United States. And when people talk, when people make threats, certain people, you should believe them. Canada's Justin Trudeau admits the purpose of the Chi-Com virus scandemic is to force the globalist Great Reset. You can see him. In fact, on my personal Twitter account, I did I posted a video of him talking about it. And these servers. Now, Dominion, okay, how crazy is this to think about? You've got like 5 or 6 different voting machine companies that supply the voting machines to the states in the United States. Let's look at Dominion just very quickly. Dominion, their votes, okay, Dominion is by far, I think, used in 28 or 30 states. I'm not sure. I've done a lot of research on this, but the votes are ultimately cast or counted or processed, shall I say, through Barcelona, Spain. That's right. Or at least they used to be by Skytl, SCYTL. And then, of course, they apparently filed, well, not of course, apparently they filed bankruptcy and moved their operations to Frankfurt, Germany. So you're telling me, hang on a second here, the servers that process the votes, they take a trip to, Frankfurt, Germany, and then kind of are sent back here? Why is that? Well, that's where the servers are. Now, the servers were reportedly, in Frankfurt, were reportedly grabbed by the U.S. military on or about the 9th of November. Can I verify that? No, I can't. Are people saying that? Yeah. Are reliable people saying that? Yes, they are. We're going to learn that and more coming right up. I just want to take care of a little bit of business. I want to thank our corporate sponsors, including Lightstream. Folks, the average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? You can refinance your high interest rate credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credits. The rate is fixed, so it won't go, it's not going to go up. It's fixed. It's great. There are no fees. Plus, you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you got to do. By the way, our family has benefited from this because sometimes it just makes sense to consolidate if you're in debt and if you can get a better rate, and especially if you're buying equipment and such. Look, I've got testimonials. I've got testimonials. Believe me, I do. Listener testimonials who said, thank you for for introducing us to Lightstream. Thank you. We're saving $200 a month. We're saving $800 a month. Hey, my niece is saving $600 a month, I believe. It's a great service. So here's how to take advantage of this offer. You can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LIGHT. STREAM, that's lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two ends on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. Now with me, Brandon House, worldviewweekend.com and worldviewreport.com. Bookmark those two websites. Now listen to me carefully. The information, all of the information, say it with me, studio audience, stay with me. All of the information is where? Not on YouTube, not on Spreaker, not on any other platform. You have to go to HagmanReport.com and click on the bar above, go to the video of that day, and all of the links will be provided for you. It's easy as that. That's HagmanReport.com. But with me is Brandon House, WorldViewWeekend.com, WorldViewReport.com. And he's got a special guest, and the rest of the program is his. Brandon.
No, hey, no, it's not. You're going to stay with me, right?
No, I was going to go out and have a cigar and a cup of coffee.
Well, I think we got Mary with us, don't we?
Yes, we do. Mary, how are you?
I'm well. It's nice to meet you.
All right. So, Brandon,
well, Doug,
I'm going to turn this over to you for the introduction and for the layout of this.
Okay. Well, Mary broke this story along with her research partner, Alan Jones, in December of 2015. So people need to know she's been on this a long, long time. She has a book that came out with Alan in August of 2020 that's available for, you know, just a couple bucks on Kindle at Amazon, called The Hammer is the Key to the Coup. But please remember, she's been on this since December 2015. And I want to say at the outset, there are some people within the intelligence arena or connected to the intelligence arena that are really trying to downplay what Mary and Alan have put out. But what you need to understand is, I've known Mary a very, very long time. You know that we have talked about Gulftainer here on your show for a few years now. This company that is connected with the Jafar family, who one of the business partners was Saddam Hussein's nuclear mastermind. He developed a nuclear beach ball, a miniaturized nuclear device. He was on the kill list during the war. And lo and behold, they shut down one of the boards that is supposed to review these kind of deals called CFIUS, and they shoved this contract through, giving this family tied back to Saddam Hussein and tied back to Russia and the exporter of the Club K cargo system that contains four cruise missiles when a lid lifts up, looks just like a container on the back of a rail car or semi-truck. The family that's in that relationship with Russia and formerly with Saddam Hussein, we gave that business, Gulftainer, the contract to Port Canaveral in Florida, now Wilmington, Delaware. So she did all that research, all right? When I handed that off to a friend of mine who has several hundred intelligence officers working for him, he took the report, he verified it with his security ability to do so. And not only did he find out it was true, what Mary Fanning and Alan Jones were reporting, he then began to distribute it to members of Congress that were on the right committees and to generals. The point is, we have vetted Mary's work. Others have vetted her work, okay? And what really sealed the deal for me, Doug, was when three-star general retired, General McInerney, came on my radio show twice and on my TV show a week ago Sunday night and backed up not only everything she was saying, but then told us about four-star admiral who passed away last year, four-star admiral Ace Lyons, Admiral Lyons, who also backed up her work. So this is a woman who has been vetted, and why would a three-star retired general and a former four-star admiral be backing up her work? Well, you ask yourself that. And now why do some within the intelligence community want me to quit talking about this, interviewing her? Because apparently some within the intel community want to keep this very, very powerful tool known as Hammer and an application known as Scorecard that can be used. So, again, if you need to understand that there are people going around claiming that the guy that wrote this in 2003 to protect America, this software, this very, very powerful software that was to be used only overseas. Then it was taken by the Obama administration within two weeks of Obama being sworn in. And she reports, and Allen reports, it was turned on the American people with guys like Clapper, Brennan. In fact, reality is the software, Doug, was written to stop the communist from hijacking elections overseas. And apparently the communists in America have hijacked the software to have a communist coup, a coup d'etat here in America.
Right.
But the guy that wrote it, Dennis Montgomery, in 2003, and then it was taken by the Obama administration in 2009, there are folks out there from the Washington Post and others, Daily Beast, trying to say that Dennis Montgomery is a fraud, this is all a fraud. But the reality is they cannot address the things that Mary is about to say as to why this is not a fraud. So people need to put on their thinking caps and listen carefully and maybe listen to the show twice. But I would ask again, if this is not true, why was four-star Admiral Lyons and now today three-star General Retired Dennis McInerney standing behind this report and continuing to do radio and TV on this topic and the research of Mary Fanning and Alan Jones? So with that, Mary, welcome to the program.
And Mary, hold on a second. I just want to give you credit because your book right now, well, it's the number one bestseller in biographies and of espionage. I'm sorry. I can talk. The Hammer is the Key to the Coup. Folks, there it is on Amazon. It's a Kindle. Get it today, tonight, right now. Do it. It's The Political Crime of the Century Explained, how Obama, Brennan Clapper, and the CIA spied on President Trump and General Flynn and everyone else. Fantastic work. Go ahead, Mary. Excuse me.
Thank you. We first came across the whistleblower tapes. These audio recordings were released from federal judge G. Murray Snow. But as the person who recorded them said, they were never to become public. And so when people understood what was on those tapes, and as we transcribed them, it was very stunning information. But it became even more so on March 4th, 2017, when President Trump tweeted that he had been understood, so to speak, by the Obama administration. And because we knew that indeed he had been. So we wrote a piece on the whistleblower tapes. They destroyed our computer. They destroyed our website. They put encrypted passwords on my computer. They, in quotation marks. And with that, we came back, put this all back together. The hosting platform company said this came from the Ukraine, interestingly enough. And at that point, we republished, and Admiral Ace Lyons brought the piece to his good friend, longtime friend, General Thomas McInerney. And together, they went to Operation Freedom and on March 19th, 2017. Well, interestingly, you should know timeline-wise, the very next day, FBI Director James Comey launched the Russia collusion investigation. About a year later, we found that when the IG report released Strzok and Page's text messages, you remember when that happened?
Yes. Yep, we do.
Hey, Mary, try to get Mary. You're breaking up, Mary. See if you can get by a window or something.
All right.
Nothing to see here, folks. Yes.
No.
Go ahead when ready. Fire when ready. Do we lose
it?
Our dog agrees.
There we go.
Yep. Yes, our dog agrees. The window is better.
Well, I'll tell you what. My dog just looked at the screen down here. My lady, the studio dog, likes your dog. So go. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
So the IG report comes out with Strzok and Page's text messages, and when we line up the date, we find that within minutes of General McInerney, and now remember, General Thomas McInerney is a three-star general He had been in charge of Northern Command Alaska, NORAD. He also was a fighter pilot that fought in the Vietnam War. His reputation is sterling, as is anyone who understands some of these military people. Admiral Ace Lyons had the largest command in our history, a four-star admiral. So these men come forward. They go on the radio. We put the timelines together. And when we see Strzok and Page's text messages, that very evening, after they come off, it's a Sunday evening, we see that Strzok and Page are texting about Dennis Montgomery, none other than the man that General McInerney was referencing with the hammer. So remember, the very next day, FBI Director James Comey launches the Russia collusion hoax investigation. And who does he put in charge of it? Peter Strzok, the guy that was texting about Dennis Montgomery the night before.
Wow.
So,
battery 20%.
Yeah.
And that's issue.
So we understood that they were aware of...
Changing phones. She's changing phones. Okay. Her phone's about to die.
Got it. Okay.
You back, Mary?
Did Dad help at all, the speaker?
Yes.
Okay. So we start doing a deep dive, and we publish several pieces. We find out from an interview that Montgomery gave with his attorney that he told that Robert Mueller had supplied the computers for the hammer. So we start to understand the players involved and why this coup d'etat against this president, Trump, was so important. Because, as Admiral Ace Lyons said, let me explain the title to our book, The Hammer is the Key to the Coup. And that's because Admiral Lyons and General McInerney agreed that the coup had much to do about the hammer and the fact that they had stolen a foreign surveillance tool and turned it against America illegally, when the CIA holds no legal right. They hold no legal ability to spy on America. It's illegal. This is important for your listeners to know, because now they've taken this foreign surveillance tool and they're spying on all of America. They're spying on Supreme Court justices, members of Congress, 109 of them, business leaders, military leaders. Please note that one of the people that they had under heavy surveillance was General Michael Flynn. So it wasn't just President Trump. And in the whistleblower tapes, they told, why were they spying on President Trump? Well, because the CIA feared him.
So, just so I understand this, and pardon me for interrupting here, Mueller's FBI supplied computers for the hammer, and then illegally, I know that they raided Dennis Montgomery, seized his property, and because Dennis Montgomery was under attack by the lamestream Mockingbird media, as being non-credible, but yet everything that he said has come out. Wow. Okay. So I would like to add too that the hard drives, the wiretapping of President Trump, the prosecution of General Flynn, it's all tied to the hammer. It's tied to Brennan, Comey, Mueller, Clapper. Sorry about that. I'm hearing the echo, but you get the idea. I mean, obviously, folks, you get the idea, right? So, okay. And you broke this story.
Yes, because, as I said, President Trump tweeted that he felt that he was being wiretapped by the Obama administration. Well, as time went on, we found out more and more concerning pieces of this story. So you have to understand that the hammer began as a foreign surveillance tool in 2003. So the hammer was built to keep America safe after 9/11. So for this period of time, Montgomery is working to track terrorists and to see what they're, to see that we have not another hit coming, but it was also helping to protect our men in the battlefield, right? And then Clapper has oversight of it beginning in 2007 while he's at the Department of Defense. And then in 2009, Clapper and Brennan illegally commandeer Steele, the Hammer, and they move it to Fort Washington, Maryland, where they have oversight. And they begin turning it on all of America. So they're not just turning this on, as I said, all of America. Understand, Supreme Court justices, particularly Justice Roberts, Justice Scalia, members of Congress, business leaders, they're accessing law firms, they're accessing churches and synagogues and taking the names and the information on those people. That is chilling to understand, because this isn't the America that we know. This isn't, not only is this illegal, but this is reminiscent of Hitler's Nazi Germany or life under Stalin and the gulags. So what they've done is they've taken the super surveillance system and they've turned it on America, virtually turning it into a police state. And as Dennis Montgomery said, it was to go after Barack Obama's political enemies, anyone who was a conservative. But again, the idea of looking into abortion clinics and psychiatric facilities and churches and synagogues, it's mind-boggling to think what American would do such a thing that works for our government. You know, it's one thing when we provide, you know, super weapons like this to our intelligence agencies to protect the country, but when they hold no charter to spy on the country, it's a completely different thing when they turn those weapons against us. So that's exactly what they did. And so Montgomery, as he built this to protect America, they put out pieces trying to, you know, discredit him. They hired him back at that point. And it's work for that for Pepper. As time goes on, he sees that they've taken this and they've weaponized it against the country. And at that point, he actually faxes Obama and Joe Biden in their offices in the White House, and he tells them what Brennan and Clapper are doing. Now, he's aware that they are aware because Barack Obama had put an exclusion order forward saying that certain people were not allowed to be surveilled, and that included Joe and Hunter Biden, for that matter. So in August of 2015, Montgomery is in touch with the FBI. He first goes to Judge Royce Lamberth, who was the one-time head of the FISA court, with his attorney. He then, through Judge Lamberth and from DOJ, Deborah Curtis, and Assistant U.S. Attorney, and FBI General Counsel James Baker, they put together immunity agreements for production and testimony. He produces the 47 hard drives. They come down and meet him. He flies to Florida with his son-in-law assisting him because he's had a stroke. They verify the 47 hard drives. They look at the information on them and they verify it. And then they accord the first of the two immunity agreements. Then in December of 2015, he goes to the FBI Washington, D.C. field office. And he meets with, again, the same people who picked up the 47 hard drives, Deborah Curtis, William Barnett, Special Agents William Barnett, Special Agent Walter Giardina. He testifies for 3.5 hours while under oath, while being videotaped in the D.C. field office SCIF. He goes through the information. They have many questions. They're very concerned with some of the information that they get. Montgomery is then accorded the second immunity agreement. Understand that had Montgomery lied one single lie, he would have been charged by the FBI and he would be in prison. He is not in prison. Now, the other thing you need to understand is a piece of information concerning state secrets privilege and government protective order. Going back to 2006 and 2007, Mueller raided Montgomery's home with his FBI, pretty much like you saw with Roger Stone and William Binney and Kirk right. Wiebe, Binney had a gun to his head, you know, as he's stepping out of the shower. Roger Stone, you know, pulling him and his wife out in a nightgown in the dawn. And
or as the FBI likes to call it, just Tuesday. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, a friendly visit.
By the way, why this is also important, Doug, is what Mary is trying to show you here is for those within the intelligence community and now they're Mockingbird Media that are wanting to say, oh, Hammer scorecard, that's conspiracy theory. That's Trump's latest conspiracy theory. Sidney Powell, you know, of course, was on with Lou Dobbs. She was on with Maria, you know, she's talking about scorecard and Hammer last week a couple times. That's all conspiracy, they say. This is as a discredited guy. He's a hoaxer. What Mary's trying to say is if that's the case, why did he get these two immunity deals? Why is he still free? Why hasn't he been locked up for lying? And again, she's trying to make the case as to why they have a lot of questions to answer. If they want to run around and say this is all a fraud, then why are the facts that she's laying not easily refuted?
Right. Okay.
And there's another important piece. So as the FBI raids his home, ties him to a tree, takes his material, they end up in court, and Magistrate Cook, she calls the special agents out, and she says, tell your boss he has 1 hour to tell the truth. And so their boss happens to be Robert Mueller, and Judge Cook calls him out and says, I will put you special agents in prison. And so they decide not to continue because Judge Cook has discovered that the search warrants were all fraudulent. And with that, then, it gets appealed. It goes to Judge Pro, who also finds in Montgomery's favor. However, they then invoke the state secrets privilege and a government protective order. You don't put a government muzzle on someone for life if you just think they're, you know, blathering, right? So they put these very high level, and it was John Negroponte at the time, the director of national intelligence, invokes these state secrets privilege and government protective order against Montgomery so that he does not talk. But this is again in 2007. After this all cools down, they hire him back. They put out all sorts of disinformation that he saw things, in Al Jazeera and found things that were inside of porno that showed that that's where Al-Qaeda was communicating through. And they put all sorts of information out, which they've just recently rerun. Only problem is you just had a Nat Geo special, which was very interesting because they come out and tell that this is where the information and how Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden were communicating exactly as Dennis Montgomery had told. So, hand of God, they put out a special proving exactly what Dennis Montgomery said was the case, and now they're back with the same regurgitated bad information to discredit Montgomery, because now it's come to the forefront, particularly in light of, you have to understand, Hammer is the super surveillance system, the hardware. And now it has the software, like an application on your phone, right? And this group of exploits is known as Hammer, H-A-M-R. One of the exploits, one of the apps, is named Scorecard. Scorecard was being used to secure elections overseas because you were seeing communists take over country after country. And so they were trying to secure elections from having the ballot boxes stuffed, with communists then ending up with the one big failure was Venezuela. And so this is what scorecard had been used for. However, it was just used, well, in the whistleblower tapes, they tell that scorecard was used by Brennan and Clapper to steal the Florida election to win the election in 2012 for Barack Obama and Joe Biden. So we now know that they were using scorecard in this election for Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden, who didn't come out of his basement, and when he did, he could only have 12 people show up.
Yeah.
Versus President Trump, who you had to keep more than an equal number outside that couldn't come in because the capacity was filled every time. Massive numbers of Americans standing up, and they were standing up for this president because he fights for them, but also because this would mean the end of America and the end of freedom if they were to let people such as Joe Biden, which makes no sense to anyone with half a brain, watching some drooling guy come out of his basement periodically, and that he's fit to be the commander-in-chief, not to mention his long history working with communism. So we then see that there are, we understand how scorecard works. It is a software program that accesses the state's attorney's the state's attorney's office and the secretary of state's office as they are transferring the votes. So it's at the transfer point when the vote enters the internet. So as the vote leaves the secretary of state's office and transfers to the vaults where they hold the vote, it is at that point that this prismatic scoring algorithm steals votes. And it's not as though somebody is sitting behind a computer saying, I'll have a, you know, one here or two here. It is an, it's artificial intelligence. It takes a percentage of the vote, it usually under 3% increments during the vote count, and then it has a final dump. Well, what Sidney Powell started speaking to was that you started seeing identical blocks of stolen votes that were being dumped at 4 o'clock in the morning. Most people probably remember hearing that there was a dump of 112,000 votes in Wisconsin at 4 a.m. 112,000 of those 112,000 votes were for Joe Biden. We also saw that there was 138,000 dumped votes at 4 in the morning in Michigan. 135,000 of those 138,000 votes were for Joe Biden. That is watching scorecard in real time. It was captured on CNN where right before our eyes you saw the vote flip. And in fact, it happened in a nanosecond, a microsecond, and humans could not have made that happen. It was only captured because it was being filmed. So that is watching scorecard in real time steal the vote.
Mary Fanning is our guest. Brandon House, of course, is making this happen. Without Brandon House, none of this would be happening on the Hagmann Report. I want to just give a very fine hat tip to Brandon House. Mary, please tell me that this is what Sidney Powell was referencing when she said we've identified the algorithm.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Prismatic scoring algorithm that steals the vote at the transfer points.
Okay.
And by the way, we have a graphic. I think Eric is working on bringing that up. We have a graphic to kind of show that we showed on our TV show last night. There we go. There it is there. Mary, maybe you, again, we just put up that graphic, so maybe you want to make reference to it. It shows all the switchers and the internet and the scorecard application and then the report vote count and then the state count.
So that's a graphic that shows exactly how it works, and you'll see the one line where that's exactly when the vote is stolen. But what's most important is to understand that it's when, so you can have all the paper ballots in the world. You can have purple thumbs, but at some point you're going to transfer the counts to the vaults, and that's when it hits the internet, and that's when the vote is stolen.
Well, this is very interesting what she just said. this is very interesting what she just said. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't think if what you're saying is what I think you're saying, I don't think we have hammered this, pardon the pun, I don't think we've hammered this home enough. What you're saying is the paper ballots at the end of the day don't really matter, because the paper ballots are just being used as justification to put in what is going on at the switch. So whether you're counting paper ballots or you said purple thumbs, it's when the data makes it from the state to the tally, from the precinct or local vote or whatever to the state secretary of state. When this transfer point happens, the ballots in some way are really just cover for the hammer. Would that be a correct statement?
The ballots, when they hit the transfer point, is a count is hitting the transfer point to the vaults. It has to enter the internet. Now, another interesting piece of information as far as this is that Dennis Montgomery in 2015 and in the 47 hard drives testified under oath while being videotaped to the FBI and the DOJ that Dominion and these other voting machine companies had all been corrupted, and they'd been corrupted by Hammer, and there was back doors that they could take over and take the vote. They knew this between August and then again in December of 2015. James Comey's FBI had this information in hand, and so did the Department of Justice. They knew this.
Mary, explain to the listeners why these swing states all stopped counting, put everything on hold about the same time. What was going on while we were all sitting there waiting? In other words, was the flood of votes for Donald Trump so massive that the scorecard software couldn't keep up, and they needed to put things on hold in order to start duplicating votes? In other words, if they kept it in real time, they couldn't keep up fast enough. Is that what was going on?
Yeah, they could not keep up because this was a landslide election never seen before. And so what they started doing is they started cloning illegal blocks of votes. So let's say they took 112,000 for Wisconsin. Well, they began cloning that same 112,000 over 10 states. So they couldn't even steal them fast enough, so they had to clone the parts of the steal for other states.
Brennan,
which is why they had to put things on hold while they figured this out and did this, correct?
So they had to do multiple injections into state election systems in 10 states. They cloned multiple injections of identically sized blocks of votes for Biden. All right? So because they couldn't keep up, they couldn't even produce the stolen votes fast enough. Then they started cloning blocks of votes for Biden. Do you understand? They started replicating blocks of votes across 10 states.
And this is exactly what we've heard Sidney Powell say on national media.
Exactly.
Brendan, I have a question for either or both of you. Will there – how can I phrase this? Is there enough – or is there sufficient forensic evidence that exists that can be used in court proceedings?
Well, Sidney Powell claims there is, and it's also, I guess, Mary, kind of dependent on what they have on these servers or hard drives that they supposedly the military grabbed out of Germany. So, you know, apparently, though, they have a lot of forensics. If they could bring in a guy like Dennis Montgomery, because he, as you've heard Mary report in her book with Alan Jones, there's a trap door back there that tells you who accessed it, what they accessed. So if he could do the forensics, others can do the forensics. Of course, it's better to have the guy that wrote the software, I guess, do the forensics. But again, we don't also know what they got over there in Germany when they grabbed those servers. But apparently, Mary, like Sidney Powell said when she was on Maria yesterday, She doesn't say things she can't back up. So my guess is they have got a lot of forensics, correct?
Yes, but they also, when they're stealing this, they mirror the hard drive that they're stealing, because what happens if that server goes down that they're stealing the hard drive? So they mirror it 10 times over to make sure they preserve the information. So should something happen, they have another hard drive ready to go. Do you follow that, Brannon?
So in other words, if the people doing the investigation have got that, then they have everything. They have the forensics to prove in court.
I think that they have that, and I know that in certain states they've already proven some of the things, particularly in Michigan, they have information as to what happened to the system. You had people who were working on what was happening in Michigan, people who happened to be NASA engineers, all right, people who are well-versed and looking into this sort of thing.
Let me go back to the credibility here, because again, Doug, there's a lot of people attacking the idea of the hammer and Dennis Montgomery, and I want to make sure the audience knows one reason why I was willing to interview Mary, because of her past research that has been proven true by active intelligence people related to Club KCAR, as well as former people from the CIA, CIA analysts, CIA special operations officers, who gave me, you know, the credibility of Mary Fanning as being trustworthy. So then I got to know Mary. Then the three-star General McInerney comes on my program three times with her and backs up what she's saying and has done so in private conversations. But let me go back to what Mary actually writes in a report with Allen. Not only did the American Report, that's her organization and website, AmericanReport.org, not only did the American Report have multiple military sources confirm the existence of the foreign surveillance tool, the Hammer, but Admiral Lyons, and that would be a four-star admiral, Admiral Lyons, as a longtime military insider, had the information on the Hammer confirmed separately to him through his own various military intelligence sources. Then she goes on, Alan and Mary go on to write, William Binney and J. Kirk Wiebe are well-known NSA whistleblowers. Binney, a Russian expert, spent over 30 years at the agency and retired in 2001 as technical director of world geopolitical and military analysts and reporting. Wiebe retired in 2001 as a senior analyst. Both Binney and Wiebe came forward and stated on the Operation Freedom program not only once but on two separate occasions that they staked their reputations on Dennis Montgomery as a credible whistleblower. So why would all these people – from Binney and Wiebe to Admiral Lyons, four stars, General McInerney, three stars. Why would they be following something that they have not verified?
And if I can interject one thing, Brannon and Mary, I spoke to Mike Zullo back. Okay, the whistleblower tapes that you reference, I have. And in fact, if you go to Mary Fanning's website, theamericanreport.org, just like it sounds, theamericanreport.org, and click through, you can access the whistleblower tapes. But folks, first, purchase The Hammer is the Key to the Coup by Mary Fanning, Key to the Coup by Mary Fanning on Amazon, the Kindle edition, of course. Purchase that, because that'll explain the backstory behind this. But when I spoke to Mike Zullo, he had met, and this is, what, 3, 4, 5 years ago? I mean, it was a long time ago. He was trying to explain this to me, and I wasn't getting it. Now I get it, because Mary, you explained it very well. And theamericanreport.org, there it is. And Brannon, thank you, because at Worldview Weekend, at your website, you've got the previous interviews, including those with General McInerney. So,
yeah, that's at WVWTV.com. If they go to WVWTV, right, they can listen to last Sunday night, a week ago, last night's probe TV show with Mary Fanning and General McInerney. It's 1 hour.
Okay. All
and right. By the way, that's at WVWTV.com. That's Worldview Report there. That's a great site. That's our site. But also WVWTV.com, you'll see the our TV show. There it is. Scroll down. You'll see there it is. You see Mary Fanning's name there and the general's picture. There it is right there. That's at WVWTV.com. You can go there, listen, and watch a whole hour on this. Mary, he brings up Mike Zullo, but don't you write about Mike and what was going on with him and Dennis Montgomery?
Mike is vacillated. You know, remember, Mike is the one who recorded Dennis Montgomery unbeknownst to him. Now, keep in mind that had Dennis Montgomery said anything that violated his state secrets privilege or government protective order that had been invoked against him, he would have gone to prison for life. Well, he never did, but they were very concerned, and I really think they were trying to entrap him. Now, his partner, who had been the Blixeth and Tim Blixeth for a short period of time, but he had access to all the information, he's on the whistleblower tapes, too. Well, Tim Blixeth was put in, he had bankruptcy forced upon him by three creditors who claimed they owed him money. This has now started being overturned, that they were proving that those creditors, in fact, were not telling the truth. They took what had been Yellowstone Club. The man had been, he had $1.6 billion. And instead, when he was in a court case and the judge said, we're invoking bankruptcy against you, he said, this is crazy. And the judge said, you know, you can't talk back to a judge, and put him in prison for a year in solitary confinement. So they really did not want this information out, and they were willing to go to all sorts of lengths. And in fact, we have come to believe that the reason that they gave him immunity was to get the evidence back in hand. And so when Montgomery handed over the evidence, then Zullo initially, he sort of vacillated repeatedly, saying, this is true, this isn't true. I reported on the Hammer. And so it's confusing, but I also think that when those, as Zullo said, the whistleblower tapes were never meant to become public because they expose the Hammer and they expose the surveillance state that was being implemented in this country by the CIA. And in fact, one night, Zullo called us after a particularly important press conference he had, and he said, you know, James Woolsey told me to do this. And I was like, what the heck are you doing talking to James Woolsey?
Wow. Okay, now this is making
wonder too.
This is making sense.
Yeah.
Okay, because I can fill in some of the blanks back then. Okay. Because don't forget, Arpaio and Zullo were part of the Cold Case Posse. But what happened to that? Just asking.
Nothing.
Rhetorically. Okay, yes. All right. No,
it was kind of a look at the birdie over here, okay? Pay attention to this birdie that we're never going to get the answer to on this birth certificate issue. Meanwhile, please don't notice as we steal your country and implement a police state.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Brandon,
by the way, we have to also be careful to not have the same thing happen, right, Mary, when it comes to the Dominion voting system. Well, that's definitely a problem, and I interviewed a guy, Alan Dos Santos, on Friday on my show, who is a reporter out of Brazil that had to basically flee because of all the threats against him, and they're working on legislation in Brazil to make reporting fake news something that you can be thrown in jail for, which he warns can come to America if we're not careful. He's warned about the fact that this Dominion software company has ties to Bill Gates, he reports, and to the Clinton Foundation and to George Soros. And this system is being used all through Central America with corrupt governments, communist-tied countries. And he said on my show Friday, why is your country using this? So Dominion voting system is an issue, no doubt about it. But we got to be careful, because what I think is happening is there's all this talk about the Dominion voting system as a distraction from what the CIA has been doing as well with this software. Correct, Mary?
Absolutely. So remember, at one point, this software was to protect countries for being flipped into communism against their will. That's what the software was used for. It was used in the Ukraine to stop that from happening. Across South America, and as I said, Venezuela was the one big fail. But now, because they turned it on America, it's a very different thing. You know, if we were doing good trying to save nations from having their votes stolen, their elections stolen, that's one thing. Turning it against this country by the likes of John Brennan and James Clapper, and, you know, Comey was very well aware of this too. And I suggest we look, you know, we did look into Brennan and Clapper. And Brennan, so he not only voted for Gus Hall, the candidate for president at one point, but and Gus Hall was a member of the CPUSA. He was a hardcore communist. He eventually went to prison. That's who Brennan selected and supported into office in the United States. But when we look deeper, his grandparents and father were connected to the IRA. And this was a terrorist group out of Ireland, which I did not understand at the time, was in fact armed and trained by the Soviet Union. So the IRA was a communist group, in fact. Then we found James Comey speaking before a group, and the New Yorker covered it, and James Comey said, "I used to be a communist. I don't know what I am now." Really? So our CIA director and our FBI director have these communist ties that are pretty darn shocking.
Well, not only that, James Comey is tweeting out quotes by religious Marxist Reinhold Niebuhr and got a Twitter handle tied to that. So why is the FBI director all enamored with Reinhold Niebuhr, who in my book Marxianity, I talk about this quite a bit, because he's quoting him where Reinhold Niebuhr and Comey, you know, as he's quoting him, Comey's talking about the fact that sometimes you got to do what's wrong for the greater cause. So, I mean, this is an FBI guy? This is the FBI director tweeting out religious Marxist Reinhold Niebuhr?
Exactly. So what we were looking at is the implementation of a Soviet America, so to speak. But what we were seeing is, you know, we all hear the word globalism, but we have to understand that their reference, they mean global communism. And so they were redistributing our country, all the intel with it, and leaving America basically.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up again, Mary. See if you can get a better cell signal. Mary, let's talk about what happened on was it Thursday or Friday when a caller called into Rush Limbaugh with the guest host. Let's talk about that and let's talk about the DHS Department of Homeland Security Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency Director Christopher Krebs. Let's talk about that, because here's again another guy saying, "Oh, don't look at the hammer or listen to what Mary Fanning and Alan Jones are saying and General McInerney." Don't listen to them. Well, why is this guy, Director Christopher Krebs, poo-pooing all this? What's his compromise, if any?
Well, we did a piece just recently on Chris Krebs, and, you know, they tried to fire him. Trump ordered him fired, and Chad Wolf came and said, no, he wasn't firing him. That doesn't work like that in America. The commander-in-chief says you're fired, then you're fired. And so as we looked into Chris Krebs, and his whole career is mirrored one step away, usually through Kevin O'Prey, to James Clapper. And so as you look at his career, and I actually spoke to someone who had been in the agency, and he said Krebs had been in that agency. And then we go back to 2000, I think, for 2 years, 7 to 9, he was working for Michael Chertoff directly. And so who's the man who put the machines at the airport where we're all put through those machines?
Yeah.
So this is just really disturbing, the connections to these people. And to think that such a small group of people could implement a police state in America and basically a full repudiation of our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And the rule of law, by the way.
Brandon.
What's that, Doug?
Go ahead, Brandon. You know, and I want to thank you, Brandon, and I want to thank Mary Fanning. Folks, I don't know where to send Mary flowers, man, or take her out to dinner or something, but this information is gold. But I want to thank you, Brandon, for setting this up. Folks, purchase the book, The Hammer's the Key to the Coup. But Mary, how can people help you? I'm going to get that out there real quick. Is there any way people can help you get this message out or help you?
Yes.
Okay.
There is, and I'll tell you what it is. If this country, if we lose this country, if the lights go out here, they will go out everywhere. This is the last bastion of hope. You notice what happened to the Obama administration. There was a genocide of Christians across the Middle East. No one, the Mockingbird media didn't utter a peep. And I'm telling you, if the American people don't stand shoulder to shoulder and support this president and don't let this election be stolen, understand no one is coming to help us. We are the people we have been waiting for. The American people must stand strong. This is our time. This is our moment in history.
Mary, let's talk a little bit about how this coup, if you will, and General McInerney, three-star general, retired General McInerney, who flew over 400 missions in Vietnam and flew missions during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and was over a lot of area dealing with nuclear weapons. This three-star general who you introduced me to and I've had on my program with you three times now has used the word coup d'etat. And he has said that if we don't win this, we're going to become a communist country. We're going to roll right into that. And what we need to understand, Mary, or help the audience understand, is that the voter fraud is about a coup d'etat that will also cover the tracks of a massive, massive national security breach by the Obama administration and Joe Biden, because Joe Biden and the Obama administration, him being vice president, obviously, for the Obama administration, helped to give these ports, as we've discussed here on this broadcast with Doug before, Port Canaveral, Wilmington, Delaware, to the Jafar family, tied back to Saddam Hussein. Let's talk about how basically what they're doing, Mary, is they've brought the enemy inside the wire. They've brought the enemies of America, Islamist, Muslim Brotherhood, China, Russia. They have brought the enemies of America inside the wire, camouflaged by corporations that could carry out a Pearl Harbor 2.0, as we've been talking about now for a few years with you and Alan. This is what the Obama administration has done. So this voter fraud to carry out the coup further allows these puppets of our national enemies to defeat us from within. Explain this.
Well, as we translated that Russian Defense Journal with Pearl Harbor 2.0, when people tell you that they want to kill you, believe them. And the idea that Joe Biden, using Tiger grants, set the table to turn over our ports to Gulf Tainer, who is in business with not only Russia and the company that exports the Club K, the Trojan horse cargo container that launches nuclear, biological, chemical weapons from caliber missiles inside that cargo container, operated via satellite, that Joe Biden brought these people inside the wire. And when we looked at their business partners were not just Russia, but also China and Iran. Our adversaries are all working in concert, and Joe Biden brought them inside the wire. They also made sure that they had no CFIUS review, no national security threat analysis, because at CFIUS, the gatekeeper, the man who reviews contracts, his name is Ayman Nabi Mir. He reviewed the contracts and said it didn't need a review. But when we looked at Ayman Mir, he was from ISNA. His father was founding council member. He was a two-time youth president of MINA. And these people were found to be terrorists in the Holy Land Foundation trial. And so Ayman Nabi Mir didn't just approve the Gulf Tainer deal by bypassing CFIUS, but he also approved the Uranium One deal by claiming it was only a Canadian deal when in fact it was a Russian deal. And that's important, the uranium deal, and let me tell you why. Because if you're giving our uranium to the enemy, That means that they have our uranium signature. So should they hit us with a nuclear weapon made from our uranium, it will show that we hit ourselves.
Wow. That's all I got to say is wow. Brandon House, worldview.
That's very important because that gives our enemies plausible deniability. And you guys will remember that my friend and broadcast partner, Phil Haney, who broadcast from our studios, his TV show that we produced, that he was killed or something happened. He's dead. February of 2020. Mary was watching live my TV show the night that Phil was my guest about Club K Car and other things. And he said right in the middle of the show, I did not know this was coming. I was asking him and talking all about Club K Car and Mary's research with Alan Jones. And Phil Haney says, remember, this is the former Department of Homeland Security whistleblower, on Obama's administration. They were pulling the names of these terrorists that were trying to get into the U.S. Out of the system and people that were already here so they could not be identified. And people that he was trying to keep out of the country, they were letting in the country. And he, of course, kept all the records of everybody that was deleting it from the system. And he knows who was compromising the country. And he openly talked about that in our documentary Sabotage at sabotagethemovie.com. Well, that's the background of who he is. And now he's dead.
Brandon, let me ask, he was on our program too, and probably because of you. Thank you very much, Phil Haney. God, may God rest. I mean, I can't imagine what he went through. Did they find the, it's my understanding. Let me be very careful. I phrase this. It's my understanding that he always wore around his neck a thumb drive, flash drive with that information. That extracted information on that thumb drive when they found him.
And that's what some say. I was around him. He was in our studio, in my home, out to dinner. I mean, I never saw a thumb drive around his neck. Doesn't mean he didn't have one. But I'm rather confident that this information was duplicated and possibly given off to one or two congressmen whose names you all would know. So I'm not too worried about that. I think they have that information. But this investigation by him is still being held up. Reportedly, the Fresno FBI office, I guess, has it. They took it from the Amador County Sheriff's Department and are investigating it, is what we've been told. But that's interesting. Do you really think the FBI that was involved in all the things they've been involved in with things through the years that we could talk about, but including that FBI under Director Mueller, as Mary and Allen report, provided the computers on which this software was put to start surveilling on Americans. So I don't know if you really want to trust this FBI to investigate Phil Haney, if Phil Haney was actually investigating the Hammer and some of these things and some of these Islamic players. Then you really want to trust those people to investigate the murder? I mean, no way. But what Phil dropped down in our live TV show that night that Mary was streaming live herself was he said, hey, Brandon, you want another interesting piece of the puzzle related to the Club K car? I said, yeah. He said, you know that Citgo is here in America. It's a Venezuelan gas company. He said, we're not worried about the individual gas stations. We're not worried about those. Some of those are, independent owned family businesses or whatever. What we're concerned about is the Venezuelan owned oil terminals up and down the East Coast. He said they're in big trouble financially, as we know, right? They have massive inflation, hyperinflation. Well, they're about to collapse. Russia has come in and bought pennies on the dollar stock to prop it up. So now Russia owns a huge chunk of Citgo, which means they have legal access now and ownership of a percentage of these oil terminals up and down the East Coast, by which then they could reportedly bring in these Club K cars, of which the manufacturer, the exporter of the Club K car is 100% Russian-owned exporter. They could bring these in through these ports that they've got this deal with the Jafar family, Gulftainer, bring those in through those ports and then drop them down up and down the East Coast to carry out this Pearl Harbor 2.0 that Mary and Alan translated the Russian defense manual into English that talks about doing that very thing. And then with the, you know, and then Phil is prying into other areas, and voila, Phil's dead. So that's all kind of interesting, isn't it, Mary? Did we lose Mary? Doug?
We're checking.
Can you hear me okay?
There we go.
Yeah. You want to comment on that, Mary?
Phil called me right after that broadcast, because that was a stunning bit of information, and it was fabulous that he, in fact, took an interest in it and started digging in deeper. And just consider that the Jaffars are in business with Russia, you know, with the exporting of the Club K. Probably a piece that you should understand is that the Club K, what we know is the Club K, this intermodal cargo container that appears to be a standard intermodal cargo container and is anything but, it's a Trojan horse weapon system. And that was developed as part of Future Combat Systems, which was the first modernization of our military armory and our armaments. And that was immediately canceled by Barack Obama, the first thing he did when he came into office. And the over time, the Club K, it was known as ENLOS, ENLOS LS, non-line of sight missile systems. And so they were missiles in a box, and we had a version for the Navy, which was the same as the Club K, and one for the Army, right? And so we had put $1.6 billion, 13 years of R&D. It was 95% or more complete. And when Ash Carter came in, he simply canceled it. And 30 days later, the Russians showed up with it.
Huh. Okay. So we had... Brennan, tell me what this means. Does it mean what I think it means?
What it means is...
It means you can
is...
defeat a Navy with a fishing boat.
Yeah.
What it means is that again, if these people take over... I don't know how you get America back. And from a national security standpoint, they could basically put us over a barrel, and then you have a President Joe Biden tell the American people, maybe this is what he would say. Due to the fact that the American people had a president who didn't know what he was doing because the American people chose to elect someone outside the traditional, you know, system, we've been compromised. And now our enemies are inside the wire, and we have no choice but to negotiate a truce with them, a treaty with them, a deal with them, because they've got us over a barrel, because now they could carry out a Pearl Harbor 2.0. Maybe they don't ever have to fire a shot. Maybe they just blackmail us to surrender. What do you think? Is that even plausible, Mary?
You know, it's hard to imagine. It really is hard to imagine what these people would do, because – they're beyond all of our imaginations. No one could imagine such treason and treachery. No one could imagine that we had Americans that were of this ilk. This makes the Rosenbergs look like pikers.
Well, let's add another piece of the puzzle, Mary, that will really shock the listeners. Let's talk about the connection between the Jaffar family and Saddam Hussein and the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this might be a little much for people, because you think, oh, my word, they're connecting so many dots, and do they really have to go this many layers deep? But you better go this many layers deep, because there seems to be a pattern here. There is a general that's been out there since the 90s, or early 2000s for sure, but I think the 90s, a General Ben Parton. He was a brigadier general, and he was an expert. His bio is he was an expert in explosives for the military. So if you wanted to bomb something, there's certain types of bombs that you need to use depending on what it is you're trying to blow up, what kind of building you're doing, how big it is, what's it made of, a bunker. Well, this guy was, a brigadier general. This was his area of expertise. People can look him up in his bio, General Ben Parton. He passed away last year. What's ironic is one of my very closest friends since, the early 70s, mid 70s, actually was the pastor that did his funeral service. So it was kind of interesting. But Ben Parton, along with someone else that Mary Fanning will tell you about, they looked at the Oklahoma City bombing, And you remember when there was a third bomber, they told us all, a Middle Eastern-looking third bomber. The FBI and the authorities put out a description of him, and Americans should be on the lookout for this third bomber, a Middle Eastern guy. Well, then all of a sudden that goes away.
Yep.
Well, these guys that did the study that you can look up online, particularly on YouTube, General Ben Parton, he explains that a fertilizer truck, he claims, would not put off a big enough blast to take down the pillars and do the things that it did, that was just a cover for what was actually a real blast that did the damage. And Mary and Alan in their research have tied that third missing Middle Eastern guy back to Saddam Hussein, who on the Saddam Hussein tapes was bragging about getting a nuclear weapon into America. Well, they've tied him back to Oklahoma City and to Saddam through what is called Unit 999. You want to pick it up there, Mary?
And Mary and Brandon, hold on just one second here. I just want to tell you this. I've got a photograph from surveillance I did subsequent to the it was in the early 2000s, of that person that you reference in Boston. I was in Boston. I've got a photograph. I've got surveillance footage. I looked that man in the eyes, okay, and I provided this to the FBI. I provided this also to news reporter Jana Davis, who wrote the book The Third Terrorist.
Yes.
Okay. And so I provided that, and I did surveillance on him. And I'm going to tell you something. I've never looked evil in the eye. And the tattoo on the arm, with the Unit 99, I'm telling you. So what you're saying is 100% true. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to let you know.
No.
You know.
That's stunning. So Jana had connected him to this is who the man was, and Colonel Lang at the Pentagon confirmed who he was and that he was part of Unit 999, which was under the DGMI, the Directorate of General Military Intelligence, who had oversight over Unit 999 and Directorate of Military Intelligence was none other than Dr. Jafar Diaz-Jafar, the brother and business partner of Hamidia Jafar, who has received the leases at our ports for the company Gulf Tainer, or sometimes known as GTUSA. So we have Dr. Jafar Diaz-Jafar being connected to Hussein al-Husseini, but it got worse as we looked into this, and Jana did just a tremendous job, and those that identified this man as part of Unit 999. But the story really continues when we understand that this connects to Dr. Jafar Diaz-Jafar and his brother Hamid Diaz-Jafar. Now, understand that Hamid Diaz-Jafar is not just some poor guy who has a terrorist, nuclear mastermind for a brother. He was under congressional investigation by three congressional committees and our Treasury Department for his oil for super weapons scheme. His partner doing that was Dr. Amir al-Sadi. They were funding his brother and Saddam Hussein's nuclear program, his WMD program, biological, chemical, nuclear. They were funding this through this oil for super weapons. And so Hamid Diaz-Jafar is not just a guy whose brother and business partner is Saddam's nuclear mastermind and in charge and had oversight. He was very high up in his cabinet. So understand he had oversight over Unit 999. And beyond that, you must understand that we did collect something known as the Saddam tapes. Negroponte then put the kibosh on them and sealed them. But before Mr. Tierney, the translator, before they could be all sealed, he told that in the Saddam tapes, he had Saddam in his top cabinet, which included Dr. Jafar Diaz-Jafar, musing, laughing about putting a nuclear weapon into D.C., Washington, D.C., that could not be tracked back to them because it would seem to be a terrorist action. Understand that's who has cargo container operations at Port Canaveral from the Obama administration and the entire port of Wilmington, a 50-year lease, and is now in the midst of getting another cargo container operation on the Delaware River.
And Doug, this is what we have revealed on your show a couple years ago, Mary's research, which we incorporated into my documentary Sabotage at sabotagethemovie.com. This has all been out there.
Yes.
But have you heard this? Have you heard this on Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin? Where are these guys? And by the way, is that a CIA pin Sean Hannity's wearing on his lapel? Is that a CIA pin? Why is he wearing that? Let me just say, some people better be very careful who they get their information from, because there's a lot of people out there in the Mockingbird media, even in the conservative side, that aren't going to tell you everything for whatever reason. I don't know. But why has this never been shared on Mark Levin or Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or any of these shows? And let me tell you something. When I reported on this on my show, Mary's Research, a friend of mine who I've known for over 12 years, know his wife, know his children, been in my home, has several hundred intel agents that answer to him, several hundred intel agents that answer to him. He took this information that he heard on my show, and he went and he vetted it. And I asked him, how is it you have this security clearance and all these people that answer to you, and I'm revealing stuff you don't know? And he said, because my area, as is with all intelligence people, is very, very specific. We have lanes, and I have a lane, and other people have a lane, and we stay in our lane. And what you're covering is not what I do. That's not my lane. But I can go verify it, and he did. And he printed out Mary's Perfect Storm report about this, as I said earlier, and began to give it to the right members of Congress and people with stars on their shoulder. So this is what Mary's laying out has been vetted by a friend of mine who has several hundred intel agents that answer to him. Now, again, I ask, why has this not been on Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, these other programs? Huh?
Crickets.
And let me also ask Mary to discuss this. These people, as Alan and Mary discussed on my show last week, they could very easily take out our nuclear triad. This is something that Dr. Peter Pry, who's featured in Sabotage and my movie Siege at siegethemovie.com, and we produce his weekly radio show and TV show. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, the world premier expert on EMP next to Dr. Graham, he is warning on his broadcast that we produce and distribute over and over and over about the threat to our nuclear triad. Our nuclear triad, as Mary can explain, involves our bombers, our submarine bases, and our missile silos. And these people could very easily, with the Club K container missile system, they could very easily target our nuclear triad and bring us down and defeat us. Correct, Mary?
Absolutely. In fact, let me direct your listeners to centerforsecuritypolicy.org and our paper, The Perfect Storm, or What Could Possibly Go Wrong, and also Not Today, Sir. These are occasional papers. And military intelligence have studied these and became quite concerned when all this was put together. Peter also understood that what we're looking at, because we've been on this mutually assured destruction footing, and it's not mutually assured, it's assured destruction for the United States. And so we're seeing President Trump, again, he has moved toward the same plan that Reagan tried to put through, and toward Star Wars and Brilliant Pebbles and the things that would protect this country. And that's what we're looking at. But let me take you back from this information, the overview, again to the Jaffars. And why is that important? Well, because the Jaffars initially, so where they are at Port Canaveral is 1,000 feet from the Trident Turning Basin, where NATO's and our submarines are. They also initially made a move. They tried to first take over the port of Jacksonville, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump in missile launching area to Kings Bay, where the mainstay of our Trident nuclear submarines reside, our naval base. And so this is incredibly dangerous. We brought the enemy inside the wire, but they're not just inside the wire. They've cozied up to all of our submarine bases. And that's, you know, I asked, are they still teaching Sun Tzu, the art of war, at our military academies? Because I'm not sure how do they miss all of this?
I submit they didn't.
Let me also, Mary, have you explain that the fact that Gulftainer, 50% owner, and correct me or stop me if you've already said this, 50% ownership of Gulftainer is the emir of the UAE. And tell me, I think you've referenced him already, but get into that a little bit.
Well, so they said that Gulftainer was owned by the Jafar family, you know, and that's the Crescent Group, and there's the downstream of different companies. In the downstream, we come and we see that the Jafars are business partners not only with Russian defense companies, but with Igor Sechin, also known as the scariest man on earth, out of Russia. And as I said, they're in business with Hutchison Whampoa, the Chinese-owned, the people who inspect our cargo containers before they come into the country. That's right, the Chinese inspect them for us first. And beyond that, we started looking into who actually owns Gulftainer. And what we found were World Bank documents that proved that they were only the 50% owner of Gulftainer. Why is that important? Well, because the other owner is the Emir of Sharjah, who works very closely, Al-Qasimi, with Russia. But also, they lied about the ownership, you know, for the CFIUS review that they didn't have to have. And so now you're looking at a foreign country taking over our ports, not just someone being given a contract or a, you know, a 50 or 35 year lease to our ports. Now it's a foreign country, and that should have brought it to a whole nother level of oversight and a national security threat analysis that was far deeper, because now it's a foreign country, and the fact that they didn't tell the truth about their ownership should put all sorts of alerts up, because this is our critical infrastructure that requires a very serious national security threat analysis. However, James Clapper, he dismantled the committee for his own committee to have oversight. He simply dismantled the committee.
And Mary, explain if you would too, the connection between the Emir of UAE, and was there not a three congressional committees related to this guy and the oils for scheme for weapons of mass destruction with Saddam Hussein?
Well, it's actually so the three congressional committees, when they looked into Hamid Diyajafar for his oil for superweapon scheme, his partners in that was Dr. Amir al-Sadi. That's different than al-Qasimi. And Dr. Okay. Amir al-Sadi, however, is under right now a lawsuit. They're charging him with gassing the Kurds in Iraq in the Halabja massacre. So these are the people behind the Halabja massacre, where they gassed their own people to death.
How did we get here from the voting, talking about the votes, the election fraud? How did we get here? Because this is all related. That's all connected. It's all connected.
It's all related.
It's all connected in part because Joe Biden, he's the one that helped put through the Port Canaveral deal, the Wilmington, Delaware deal. So you've got Joe Biden, who apparently is compromised by many people, many enemies of America, who has already helped to bring these enemies inside the wire through Port Canaveral deal and the Jafar family, which goes right back to, again, a family who's one of the brothers is reported by Mary and Alan in their research to have been the head nuclear scientist or mastermind for Saddam Hussein and developed a nuclear beach ball, a miniaturized nuclear device. And so Joe Biden helped bring this into America, according to Mary's research, and this is going to be the commander-in-chief? This is one way it's connected. And not to mention, again, she just said that this Chinese company is the one that inspects our cargo containers. Now, again, if any of us have read the 1999 report, Unrestricted Warfare, written by two Chinese colonels, communist Chinese colonels, you know what their plan is. It not only involves biological, but also, of course, nuclear. But this is all connected, correct, Mary?
Absolutely. In Unrestricted Warfare, the two colonels, and in fact the general that was over them, has come out crowing about this in the last couple of years, that they would first hit us with a biological weapon, and then they would hit us a second time to weaken us and collapse our economy. Sound like COVID-19, anyone? And then they would hit us militarily after we had been so depleted financially.
And by the way,
now,
we just released a TV show yesterday that I recorded a few weeks ago, but we finally got it released yesterday at WVWTV.com, and it's all about China and secession. Now, what's very interesting is if they lose this election, you've already got former White House attorney Lanny Davis literally crowing about secession and Oregon, Washington State, you know, California pulling out. And some people say, oh, well, that's fine. Let them go. No, that's highly dangerous. And when you look at how the Chinese have compromised, the communist Chinese have compromised the West Coast and the politicians on the West Coast and San Francisco, this is very dangerous because communist China has compromised the West Coast. If they want to literally have secession and pull out if they lose the election, how are we going to defend our nation? And by the way, we have communist Chinese front groups like the Freedom Road Socialist Organization that has been working in states like Virginia and have completely flipped Virginia. This is a Chinese communist group that has been working to put their people into power in our legislatures, both at the federal and state level. And don't forget, back in 2017, there was a state senator. She was a Vietnamese refugee, and she got up and protested that the state Senate there in California had a day honoring Tom Hayden. Don't forget, Tom Hayden was with the Weather Underground. Okay, he's a former state senator there in California. He's dead now. But they wanted to honor him in 2017. She got up after after his family left, and she spoke in Vietnamese. Well, as soon as she started to then speak in English, detailing the Chinese communist ties of Tom Hayden, and don't forget the Weather Underground in their 1974 document, which anyone can find online and read, their political manifesto called Prairie Fire, they praise communist China as the model of how great it is and how we should mimic communist China, right? And Mao, Chairman Mao and his little red book and all that. Well, that's Tom Hayden. He was part of that. So here they are in the Senate in California honoring him. When this Vietnamese refugee gets up and warns about the worldview of Hayden and the atrocities of the communists in Vietnam and their partners, communist China, she is literally physically removed from the Senate floor. It's on video. Okay. So what we're saying is when you have these people that are coming into America with corporations as their camouflage, but they're really communist China, when they're tied back to Saddam Hussein, when they're tied to Iran, when they're tied to the worst enemies of America, and now they're inside the wire. And then you have politicians that have been elected by China and literally put into state legislatures and at the federal level, and now a man compromised trying to become commander-in-chief. Do you think we can recover from this if this actually happens? In my opinion, if Donald Trump cannot pull this out through the courts or through the House of Representatives, my opinion, and anyone can disagree, I believe he has a constitutional duty to protect America from enemies, both foreign and domestic. And he's got something like 31 presidential powers that are open from other presidents, plus what he's opened under the coronavirus. I believe he needs to invoke those because we cannot allow an enemy of America, both foreign and domestic, to do any more damage to this country, because I don't know how after 4 years we can recover from that. So all of these coward Republicans running around, some of them who may have already been compromised because of this powerful software, and they have the dirt on them to blackmail them. But these coward Republicans thinking, oh, well, we'll just wait a couple years and get more seats in the House, or wait 4 years and take back the White House. How on earth are you going to do that if the enemies of America have put themselves on the inside and have controlled at the highest levels from their red-green axis, including shutting down the CFIUS board with this Muslim Brotherhood-tied guy that Mary reports on that allowed Uranium One and the Gulf Tainter deal to go through? People have no idea. This is probably one of the most dangerous times in American history. Certainly, it's even more dangerous than the Cold War right now, I believe. Would you say that's true, Mary?
I couldn't agree more. You should also know that as they were putting through this Gulf Tainter deal, a couple of things happened. Jacob Jack Lew, the head of the Treasury Department, flew over to the UAE. He said he was just talking about security and property, real estate. So that took place. So Jack Lew was very much a part of the deal and putting the enemy in place. But Lew has longtime communist affiliations. This was everyone that was working on the Obama team was working against this country. They were redistributing it. Can you imagine ever hearing in a different day and time that a vice president and his drug-addled son were picking up a $1.5 billion payday from China, or $1 billion out of the Ukraine, or 300,000 or 3 million or even 10 cents from the mayor of Moscow's widow? People have got to wake up and look at what you're watching before you. You understand that this is not, these are not people that are working for America. They're selling us out right before our eyes. And you have the media that continues to the sycophants of the left and the communists. When you understand who and what the Mockingbird media is, many people don't understand who's Carl Bernstein. Do you know who Carl Bernstein really is? Carl Bernstein's parents were working with the Rosenbergs. That's who Carl Bernstein is.
And also, let me also add, how many Americans know that from our nation's capital and from other places, you have 30 million households in the United States that can receive TV, a TV station run by China's Communist Party? How about Beijing's covert radio network that's running across 33 stations here in America? We've allowed them to even set up radio and TV here in America.
Wow. Folks, Brennan House, I want to thank you, Brennan. Look, we still have time left. We've got about 17 minutes left, but I want to thank you. Folks, go to worldviewweekend.com. All the links are going to be in the program description box, www.wvwtv.com. And also for Mary, theamericanreport.org, as well as the book, The Hammer is the Key to the Coup. Now on her website, there's a lot, and I mean a lot of information about what she just talked about. Again, theamericanreport.org. But folks, support this lady. Her book number one bestseller in espionage, biographies of espionage. Right here. There it is. It's available on Kindle. Buy it. Support this woman. Her intrepid reporting, investigative reporting, as well as Brennan House's investigative reporting, intrepid reporting, Sabotage of the Movie, Marxianity. I got the book right here. Marxianity. It's never more than 10 feet away. Okay, because I reference this a lot. So I want to just say thank you to you both. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brandon, and just, keep going. You got 16 minutes now, so it's yours.
Well, thank you. Actually, I've got less than that because I go live at 1 o'clock Central. So I've just got about another, 7-8 minutes.
Yeah.
But I want to reiterate what we started. There's going to be people that want to try to discount what we're talking about, because they're poo-pooing Dennis Montgomery. They're poo-pooing the Hammer. I would simply say, ask the questions we're asking. How did this guy get two immunity deals? How does he maintain his security level? Why is he not in jail? Why is General McInerney, three-star general, retired, standing and saying, don't back away from the story? We must be over the target if some of the people in the intelligence community, even conservatives, don't want us talking about this. Why was the late Admiral Lyons, four-star admiral, saying that the hammer is the key to the coup? And maybe that's a great way to close, Mary, because Admiral Lyons at one time was in charge of probably more troops than anyone in history, the whole specific fleet. But this is what he said to his friend, is it not? That's why your book, tell him why your book is called The Hammer is the Key to the Coup.
Well, The Hammer is the Key to the Coup is a title because Admiral Ace Lyons was in the hospital and his old dear friend, General McInerney, visited him. And he turned to him and he said, Tom, and he put his hand on General McInerney and he said, Tom, the hammer is the key to the coup. I wanted General McInerney to keep fighting because they knew that that's what they're trying to cover up. And that's why the coup. And understand that this stolen vote is another coup in itself. But Ace Lyons understood that the hammer was the key to the coup. And the second part of the title, that this is the greatest crime in our history, that's a quote of Donald Trump referring to the surveillance state and how they have spent 4 years working to destroy his reputation and every other traitorous act against this president. The hammer truly is the key to the coup.
And don't forget, the hammer, as Mary reports, started out as a piece of military software. Military, right, Mary?
That's correct. It was belonged to the Department of Defense. And as I said, it was the Department of Defense had oversight from 2003 on, and then James Clapper and John Brennan, they illegally commandeered it. They actually had a VPN into the Obama White House so that they could access the hammer at will. That should concern people because when the Defense Department had the hammer, it had 17 echelons, 17 steps in order to access the hammer, including going before the FISA court. And so they just simply decided to bypass the law, illegally commandeer the hammer, and turn it on America. I will tell you, this is no different than the book, The Coming of the Third Reich.
And the reason it's important, and the reason I'm stressing that Mary reports that this is was a military piece of software, then taken over by the intelligence and community, the deep state, is because if it was developed by the military, do you not think that Admiral Lyons, four-star Admiral Lyons, and three-star General McInerney would not have contact still in the military intelligence arena to verify the existence of this software? And if it did not exist, if it is fake, they wouldn't be talking about it. They wouldn't be staying on this topic. They've gotten off the topic. So we're to believe that a four-star admiral retired and a three-star general retired are so lacking in contacts that they couldn't verify something like this and be told, no, don't talk about this. This is ridiculous. You're going to ruin your credibility. It doesn't exist. It's fake. No. Don't you think they would have verified this? Don't you think that Sidney Powell, who is the attorney for General Flynn, who is the head of the DIA, do you not think that he would have told her, quit talking about the hammer and scorecard. You're going to make a fool of yourself. It doesn't exist. And now she represents the president, and she was out there on several shows talking about it then. You don't think, again, she did her homework? So ask yourself, why do some in the intelligence arena on the right and on the left want this story buried? There are some people on the right who apparently want this story buried because apparently they agree with the intelligence agencies that want to maintain this tool to surveil Americans, which is a violation of the CIA's charter. So would you agree with that, Mary?
I would. This is the CIA not wanting to be caught, turning this country into a surveillance state. And people had some understanding when Edward Snowden came forward, but as you hear in the whistleblower tapes, they talk about Snowden and they say, Snowden's a piker compared to what Montgomery is. He's got nothing compared to what Montgomery has. And so the last thing they want is this information out. But what they've done is illegal. They hold no charter to spy on Americans. They hold no charter to turn this country into a police state.
Okay, with that, we're going to close
Well, let me say this real quick. Doug. Without my digital platform and the 53 stations, that terrestrial stations I'm on,
right?
Without your platform and a few others, you tell me that we're going to trust the country to a bunch of conservative talk show hosts, some of them that are good friends with and getting their information from people that are still tied to the intelligence arena, who apparently have put a muzzle on them or have deceived them, not to mention the huge corporations that they get their paychecks from. Let me tell you something. You better be concerned about the right just as much as the left.
Amen. And folks, I please spread this around to all of your friends, your family. This is perhaps the most important program of the year. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic about it. Brandon House, again, I know you've got commitments. I'm going to let you go. Mary Fanning, thank you so very much for your gracious gift of time. I know that you weren't expecting to stay on this long. I want to say thank you, and let's keep in touch. All right?
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. All right. Wow, folks. Mary Fanning and Brandon House. God bless Brandon House. And folks, if you haven't gone to his website to watch these important videos, do this. Oh, you got to do this. Go to worldviewweekend.com, WVWTV.com. Okay. All of them are going to be in the program description box, but God bless these two people. Thank you, Brandon House. Thank you, Mary Fanning. And folks, if you just keep that up for a second, because I want to speak from the heart here. And I know most of you are not going to go to HagmanReport.com and read anything. So I just want to share some things. This weekend, I was thinking, you know, I sit here in the studio today in the United States as this year comes to a close. The only reason I've got this ability is because of the brave actions of our forefathers who fought and died so I might enjoy the God-given freedoms. This God-given freedom, among many others that are denied in other countries and by other cultures, the anger of many American patriots like myself is palpable. It's a righteous and a justifiable anger like a white hot coal that is only seconds away from ignition. And once this ember ignites the fire of patriots, it will be impossible to extinguish. The conflagration will consume everything and everyone in its path with astonishing speed and without mercy. We have been driven to this point of ignition by the unchecked corruption, by the self-enrichment, and by the tyranny of those we entrusted with the power to lead our country. And an unresponsive and complicit judiciary to act as a check against the tyrannical coup d'etat against this country, against the United States of America. To believe that we can elect, legislate, or even litigate our way out of this, especially after you heard what you just heard, is nothing but foolish optimism. The media has effectively done their job as co-conspirators in this tyrannical coup, convincing many Americans that up is down, that black is white, and that evil is good. The political left compromised right, the complicit media, have nearly completed what they set out to do, which is to destroy a republic built on sacred moral, spiritual, and godly principles and replace it with authoritarian rule. While doing so, they have been laughing at us for not recognizing that the entire process is rigged against us, or maybe it's just that we don't have the will or the courage to do anything about it. They mock the crowds that appeared yesterday, the day before yesterday, in Washington, D.C., and at state capitals all across the United States. They fail to comprehend our resolve to save our republic from the tyranny they intend to impose. You can see it happening now. Lockdown. But they do so at their own peril, because the white-hot anger that exists is about to explode in an incendiary nightmare. To assert that we still have the ability to save our republic from this tyrannical, these tyrannical despots who want us to obey and they want to enslave us without question is foolish optimism. They have all but removed the means constructed by our founders. Peaceably. Think about that. Peaceably. History, when written, will cite this moment in time as the flashpoint for America's second civil war and our revolt against tyranny. The confluence of events from the illegal and unconstitutional mandates and the tyrannical left, of the tyrannical left, that is, to the brazen theft of one of our most precious and sacred rights as Americans, our right to cast our vote without interference in our election process, will ignite patriotic Americans. History will show that the tyrants of the left compromised right and complicit corporate media. They didn't expect that Donald Trump, an outsider, would become the 45th president of the United States. They spent 4 years unsuccessfully attempting to overthrow him and subvert him. Now, they've overplayed their hand, which you just heard on this show. Attempting to steal the vote, overturn the will of the American people through blatant and undeniable fraud that the media asserts doesn't exist. They continue to laugh. They laugh at each of us and believe us to be fools. I contend we are not fools, nor will we be fooled. We are fully awake and full of righteous anger. While the foot soldiers of the tyrannical left are permitted to terrorize entire cities without punishment or pushback, their handlers, the Ted Wheelers, for example, they're busy working to revoke our Second Amendment rights. When punishment is forsaken and the ability of Americans to defend themselves is threatened or, God forbid, removed, the pushback will be unlike anything witnessed in modern times. I contend that the response, when engaged, will be medieval. Our forefathers warned that if we weren't careful about managing our great republic, that it could be lost. They also instructed us what to do at this time in history. They've told us what to do. They left us the blueprint. If we don't act right now, prayerfully and righteously, we're not going to be given another chance. Don't fool yourself. This is something we cannot leave to our children or future generations. It's up to us. And I say that with great sobriety. Folks, on your screen is Worldview Weekend. The links will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com or HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to the videos at the top, and all the information is going to be there. Don't look for it on YouTube. We're not going to put anything on YouTube. I would also like to mention, for those people who were asking about Sam Andrews and his, he gave me the wrong email address for his PayPal. It is freedomcenterusa777@gmail.com. That will be in the link or in the program description box of Sam Andrews' segmented portion of the Hagman Report. I want to thank Brandon House. I want to thank Mary Fanning. The information you heard here, You've heard bits and pieces of it. Some of it's at Worldview Weekend, a lot of most of it is, but not to the extent that Mary Fanning went into it today. Amazing, too, to think. The third terrorist, I looked that third terrorist in the eyeballs. I was about 3 feet away from him. And I'll tell you what, I swear, this is in Boston, I swear the temperature was about 50 degrees colder than the outside air. Gotta go. Good night.